way we filter sounds as an everyday task is something we take for granted. So much of our safety and reward centers are connected to this sophisticated mechanism we simply call our hearing. The way we listen to music is the detection of a harmonic series, and the tiniest bones in our body transfer these vibrations to our auditory complex. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and this week we're looking at how we listen. I don't consider myself to be a big reader, like a lot of people, including my husband, who reads a book a day, generally. And we often joke that we moved to the North Hills just to be closer to his favorite library, Northland Library on Cumberland Road. I benefit from his reading because we talk about many of the subjects from the stack of books he borrows every week. And another benefit is he's on the lookout for the kinds of books I like. And a lot of those books get talked about here when they spark an idea. I don't know for sure why I'm not a big reader. At first, maybe I thought I was a little dyslexic, but there's really no sign of that. All my siblings were big readers, and I noticed when I was a kid, reading was different for me. I liked to do it slowly. I preferred to dwell on the sentences, more like a poet would want to taste each word more fully. The other part is, because I like to read so slow, it's so time-consuming, so I choose to do other activities, like music. And even there, I like to memorize music. My reading skills are good, but my memorization developed earlier. When I do read, I like to be on a treadmill at the gym. It's not only a way to get myself to read, it's a great way to trick myself into cardio time. So I'd say most of my reading is done on the treadmill, Stairmaster, stationary bike, or other cardio equipment. And when I'm at the gym, I'm highly aware of the sounds I'm trying to block out so I can concentrate on my book. And sometimes this is harder than others. There are songs that are easy to ignore, but then there are songs that are really, really hard to ignore. In a previous episode, we looked at that aspect growing today, the purposeful distraction in today's media. Getting our attention has become full-time business. I've noticed songs that are overly repetitive are hard to ignore, and songs that are crass and disruptive, they seem to be prevalent, and they fall into the really, really hard to ignore category. I guess we've always had that kind of music, but it makes me wonder, are there people that have less nuanced listening abilities for music? Meaning, is listening to music a little harder for some people, like reading is hard for others? Well, it would explain the really hard to ignore types of music. I don't like a lot of pop music that's simple and repetitive, just for the sake of getting my attention. It might be because my attention is able to navigate more intricate timbres. Compared to my reading aptitude, my listening skills are way more nuanced and developed. And I know people have different tastes in reading based on how fast they can read. They're not exclusive, but I often think we grow towards specializing in certain things. So I think it's kind of funny that in order to read, I need to trick myself into doing it while I'm doing another task, and I have to work hard to filter out the sounds around me. The truth is, everybody has a highly sophisticated auditory system that allows us to single out particular timbres. Our ears receive sound waves much the same way our eyes receive light. But the big difference is the eyes have different segments in the retina. And our brain uses various areas to map out what we're seeing. But with sound, the sound waves arrive at our eardrums in a single composite sound wave, one big file dump, and the auditory system then starts sorting it. Susan Rogers and Ogeek Ogus talk about this in their book, This Is What It Sounds Like. If we saw like we hear, we would have overlapping images. And it's possible some species do see this way. Images of trees, cats, water, all on top of each other. Our listening is a collage, and we choose what comes into the foreground. And not everyone makes the same choices. The way we listen grows over our lifetime, and it gets better with focus and training. Listening to a symphony orchestra can be pleasant, but it can also be an activity that we choose to improve our listening skill. Singling out timbre is an attentive process. We process highlighted sound streams all the while our alarm systems are loaded in case we need to act or flee. Maybe you're at an outdoor cafe and you hear all kinds of patterns from cups and silverware to conversation and music. You choose to focus on the song your ears recognize, or maybe it's a new song and you just like it. All the while, you're on the ready, whether you realize it or not, to move quickly if a large truck slams on the brakes, or maybe a nearby dog barks. Whatever gets first place in your attention becomes the foreground stream. And we appoint the foreground stream, either on purpose or sometimes there's an override. We often choose to listen to music amongst the seeming chaos, and this might not surprise you, but music is in a higher brain network that is specialized. The music arrives at your mental front desk and announces it is music, and the receptionist says, "Ah, Mr. Music, you can go upstairs to the floor for important and specialized brain networks." It's really what does happen when we choose to listen to music over the bricolage of sounds in a busy environment. Here's what actually happens when we choose to listen to music. First, the foreground stream is passed on to the timbre reception network. This network specializes in categorizing sounds. Is it a car or a train or a bird? When the foreground stream recognizes the timbre as music, it then mutes or lessens the volume on all the other sounds. You could say music gets singled out because it's special. Ah, this goes upstairs. Please stop at the timbre network desk when you go up. Next, the timbre network passes music on to the melody perception network and the rhythm perception network. The melody perception network begins separating the pitches in a stream. It may then identify a key. Finally, it searches our memory networks to see if we recognize the melody. Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. É ela, menina que vem, que passa, num doce balanço, caminho do mar. Our rhythm perception network works right next to our melody perception network, but they have different tasks. They work together identifying a song to see if it's new and needs to be cataloged, or is it something we already know and we're looking it up. While the melody network attempts to identify the foreground stream's tune, the rhythm network is busy identifying the primary beats and it starts making predictions about what's coming next. It's a pretty sophisticated process, but we all do it. And I think it's what makes music so engaging. We become part of the performance and the composition because we start anticipating while we're listening. Pretty soon, we start to sense a groove. So there are other desks upstairs in the special music networks. The desk for lyric networks is close by. If there are lyrics in the song, the lyrics processing network gets involved, and it works very much like the melody processing network. It takes pieces of the phonics, and it starts looking through the various memories to find words and sentences. Are they new or known? And now, what is its meaning? If the lyrics desk has success comprehending the meaning, all four networks, timbre, melody, rhythm, and lyrics, they integrate all the stems into a representation, which you call a song. Now, the song or representation is sent up to another floor, to the aesthetics floor. And this floor contains at least three departments that judge the song. Let's call the judges authenticity, realism, and novelty. The song is now analyzed by these three very different old judges who deem the worthiness of the song. Does it have value in terms of authenticity? Is it unique in any way? Is it representative of the way we view the world? That's the realism desk. Think of art following photography for an abbreviated explanation. Or you can listen to the episode on realism a few weeks back. So up here on the third floor, these judges have access to our reward system in the brain. If you wonder why music is pleasurable, it's mainly these three guys. A sense of authenticity is related to pleasure. The same for novelty and realism. Our brain rewards us in a way to keep us alive, yes, but music gets to give us pleasure just to make our lives better. When it comes to humans and their hearing, the sound of the human voice gets another really special place in the upstairs auditory complex. That's why singers and vocal music makes up almost all of popular music. Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. Something unique to humans is that the voices of men and women are different. As children, we all sound the same. In adults, we get to tell gender for the most part. No other animal has this trait. So beyond the innate desire to hear singing, there's the sexy side. The voice wins on so many levels. Bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. This month, I'm performing with a really wonderful Brazilian songstress, Lily Abreu. And this is her singing with the Diamante Trio. Lillian and I just got back from WQED, where we chatted with Anna Singer. I'll post that interview in the show notes, and I hope to see you at a concert this summer. Bye now. Bésame mucho, como si fuera.